State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
Because there's nicotine in it, follows the same guidelines as buying cigarettes. If you're under the age of 18, you can't possess it.
On the air first when seconds count.
We know that youth sports is one way for kids to see what they can achieve, for them to build positive relationships with adults, and for them to build positive relationships with one another. And they learn such valuable life lessons.
The news team you've come to depend on.
To sign that lease, there had to be a commitment to pay the rental income that would be necessary to make the bond payment. So today, the council, through the ordinances that we passed, gave our assent and our commitment that we would provide the financing or the funding to pay those debt service payments.
Your official weather station.
This is 32 additional homes in the price range of $175,000 to $215,000. Right now, F&K Construction, who is going to be doing all of the road work and utility work, are going through their final plat approval process.
On the air first from your official weather station, WILO.
Do you know someone who is a true community hero? Someone who has made a true difference and has a true passion for making Clinton County a better place to live? If so, here is your chance to help them get recognized. Get your nomination form at WILO, Frankfort Main Street, or Frankfort Community Public Library and return to the same locations. To be eligible, they must be a Clinton County resident and there is no age limit. The Community Hero brought to you by Frankfort's Unified Neighborhoods and your home for classic hits, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I am your host, Ken Hartman, and now we're being joined by the voice of Purdue football and Purdue women's basketball, Tim Newton. Tim, good morning. How you doing?
Ken, I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. We're just trying to make sure we stay above water and, you know, all that good stuff.
Yeah, a little wet here in Tippecanoe County today.
Yeah, and you guys are getting ready to head north, I guess, tomorrow, aren't you? Or is it going to be yet today?
That's right. Women's basketball team plays tomorrow night in at Evanston against Northwestern after a tough road game on Thursday night against Indiana.
So what? So when are you guys going to head out for that game?
Well, the team will head up today. I'm going to take a solo trip up tomorrow. It's a late night game. Later than it was scheduled to be. It was early scheduled to be a 5 o'clock Eastern game, and now it's a 7 o'clock, so it'll be a late night.
Okay. Well, just be safe in getting to and from, though. That's the big thing. First of all, let's talk about the women's basketball team. You know, they play well at times, and then they kind of just don't play well at times, don't they?
Yeah, I think the big problem, the big challenge has been offensively. Defensively, they've been pretty solid throughout the year. They're holding opponents to under 60 points a game, but the offense has been a little bit hit and miss, and Thursday was an example of a miss. They went up to went down to Indiana. They scored the first two baskets of the game, and then they went 10 minutes with just 2 points after that. And, you know, the way college basketball is now, you've got to be able to score. The way the game is set up and the way the rules are, they've really tried to encourage more scoring, and they're just going to have to find more consistent offense than they've had. Carissa McLaughlin, Dominique Oden, Ariana Harris are pretty consistent scorers night in and night out, but they're looking for those consistent fourth and fifth scorers from game to game.
Is that going to be the thing that either makes or breaks this team this year, is the offensive side of things?
Yeah, I think so. I think that, again, the defense is pretty good. They're one of the better defensive teams in the Big Ten, but I think they're going to have to find some consistent offense, because you're not going to be able to hold some of the better teams in the conference under 60 points. So you're going to have to get into games where you can score in the 60s or even in the 70s to win a game.
How good, in your mind, is the Big Ten this year?
I think it's really balanced. I'm not sure there's a great team on top. I think Indiana's a very good team. Terry Moren has that team playing really well down there. They share the ball very well. They play great defense. You know, are they an elite top 10 team? You know, we'll see. They're right now they're ranked number 12. So I don't know if there's a real top of the line, you would say, real legitimate Final Four contender. But I do think that in at least positions 1 through probably 11. Anybody in that conference is capable of beating anybody else. So I think it's going to be a balanced league. I think it'll be a very competitive league, and we'll see when NCAA tournament time comes how many bids Purdue or the Big Ten gets and how many teams are successful in that tourney.
You know, that kind of seems like what the men's side is, too. I mean, that's a very balanced side of things. You know, they could say anywhere from, say, 9 to 12 may get in on the men's side. You know, and there's only about two teams on the other side, and they're playing each other today. It's Nebraska and Northwestern, who may not get in on the men's side. And I take it that's pretty much what you're saying on the women's side as well.
Yeah, I think on the men's side, too, the fact that you play 20 Big Ten games makes it pretty difficult. Because, you know, it's really hard to... Those teams battle each other for 2 or 3 months, and they really knock each other off pretty well. So, excuse me, I think you're right that there is a really good balance, and it's going to be difficult to really run the table in that conference.
You know, in the past, you've always seen Ohio State and Maryland and teams like that at the top of the list, but, you know, they've been struggling just like everybody else has been on the women's side.
They have been. Yeah, they have been. And I think it's going to be it'll be an interesting season. You really have to tip your hat to what Terry Moren's done at Indiana, because not only have they had great success in putting a good product on the floor, I think they've got the fan base energized down there. And it started, they had a run in the WNIT, the postseason WNIT, 2 years ago where they played all their games at home and they wound up winning the whole thing. And I think they kind of got a new crop of fans in there that really got interested in women's basketball. And so she's got it going, and she's they only lose one player next year, so they're going to be very difficult to beat the next couple of years.
You know, and Purdue's women's have been good here now for a period of time. What does the future look like for them, in your mind?
Well, you've got a couple of good players coming in next year. Rashea Kyle from Marion, who I think is certainly, she's got the size to play at this level. She scored 50 points in a game the other night. Mm. And then Madison Layton, who I really like from Northwestern High School. She had... she's had a couple of state championships, and she's really a player that's developed over time. She's a larger guard. She's about 6'1", and she's going to have the ability to see over people, and I really like her game. The challenge is you're going to have to replace Ariane Harris and Dominique Oden next year, so it'll be a challenge next season for Purdue. But they've got a base of pretty solid players, and they just are going to have to find. I think they're going to have to get some late recruiting help. They're going to be looking to sign a couple of players in the spring to complement what they've got coming back next year.
Is the JUCO route a legitimate thing in women's basketball or not? I know it's a big thing for the men, but how about for the women's side of things?
Yeah, I think it is. You do see JUCO players. The problem is that it's kind of like grad transfers, where, in particular, big post players are hard to come by. And that's really what most schools, when they're looking at JUCO talent, they're looking for big players. And the competition for those players is really pretty steep. But you'll see probably every year in women's college basketball 5 to 10 players at the national level that really make an impact coming out of the junior college ranks.
You know, and also I have a feeling the women's game is pretty wide open after what Baylor did to Connecticut up in Storrs the other night.
Yeah, it's one thing to beat Connecticut on their home floor, but to beat them by 16 and break a 98-game winning streak up there was pretty spectacular. I think this is a year where you've got a lot of really good teams at the top, and I saw one of those teams earlier, South Carolina. Purdue played South Carolina earlier this year, and that was as good a team as I've seen in a long time in person. So I think they're a legitimate Final Four team, but I'm not sure there's a team that you can say is the team to beat. And I think we've already seen that. You know, in the past, it was UConn would take the top spot and they would never relinquish it, or we'd have a team like a Notre Dame. But this year, you've already had, I think, four number ones have been beaten this year. So, and I think that's great for the game. If you look at when men's college basketball took off when the NCAA tournament became a real wide-open affair, because people go into that thing thinking, hey, my team has a chance to win, rather than back in the 1960s when UCLA would win it every year.
That's right.
It really has elevated the game, and I think the same thing really needs to happen on the women's side, where you go into the tournament and really have a wide-open competition where people don't know who the Final Four teams are going
to
be.
That's right. I wanted to shift modes here because we wanted to talk a little bit of football. This was a year where the training staff got a big workout, didn't they?
I don't know if I've ever seen a crop of injuries as sustained and as deep as the one that we had this year. I think it was either the third or fourth week of the season. We took a look at the depth chart, and 18 of the 44 players that would have been on the two deeps were injured and couldn't play. And the problem, too, is that some of your big players, it was the Rondale Moore, Marcus Bailey, Lorenzo Neal, and Elijah Sindelar, players that are your blue-chip players and the players that you count on to make big plays. And you hope that was a one-year deal and it doesn't repeat itself next season.
But I think if there is a silver lining to that, the fact you got a lot of younger kids that got a chance to play and show what they can do.
Yeah, well, I think we ended the season at either 33 or 34 true or redshirt freshmen that had a chance to play. And you're exactly right. Those players got experience that they otherwise would not have gotten. Now you're going to get Lorenzo Neal back, it looks like, for the 2020 season. And Rondale Moore should be back for the season. And it should be a pretty fun competition in both the spring and the fall to see who gets out on the field. I think they've still got to do some work up front, and they're looking at the grad transfer market. They're still looking at the junior college market, and we'll see if we can get some help with the big guys, because you've got the skill players, particularly on the offensive side, that I think can really make a difference.
You and I were talking at the beginning of the year, and I remember the conversation we had, is that you said the line play both offensively and defensively was going to be a key to how good Purdue was this year.
And I think it was, and unfortunately it was not as good as it needed to be, particularly really on the defensive side. You look at teams were able to run the ball too easily against Purdue, and they weren't able to get much of a pass rush. Now, I'm going to take George Karloftis out of that equation, because he was as good a defensive player as we've had here in a long time, and I think he's going to have a spectacular next
year. I would agree. I'd agree with that.
But I think, particularly in the middle, they really missed Lorenzo Neal as a run stopper. We had too many teams that were just able to pound Purdue between the tackles this year, and then you stuff those linebackers in the box to try to stop that, and now all of a sudden teams are able to turn the corner. The offensive line was a work in progress, and they had some injury issues. Victor Beach, the starting center, missed most of the season. I do think, though, they've got some help on the way. They've got a junior college, grad transfer coming in this season, and I think that there are some other possibilities that they're taking a look at. So if they can get that situation fixed, I think they've got a chance to be really salty offensively. And then if you can go back to where you were defensively in 2017, I think you've got a chance to be pretty good on both sides of the ball.
Have you, what was your thoughts about Nick Holt leaving and Bob Diaco coming in?
Well, we had heard some rumblings that maybe Nick Holt was not going to be around for next season. I think every once in a while you do have to shuffle the cards a little bit. I think Nick Holt's an outstanding coach, and we love to have Ben here. His son was a real godsend at middle linebacker, because without him it would have been a real problem on that side of the ball. But I think Bob Diaco comes in with a pedigree. He had a great year last year at Louisiana Tech. He's had great success when he was at Notre Dame, and I think he'll bring a different style of defense, and hopefully it'll be a jolt for that side of the football.
Who do you with the injury situation at quarterback with Sindelar and company? What do you, how do you view that position next year?
Well, that's that's probably the biggest question going in is what they're going to do at quarterback, because I thought Jack Plummer was outstanding when he played. You know, he's got some mobility that you like to see, and I think that that was I don't know if it was a surprise, but I think they were pleased with the way he performed. And then really the story of the last month of the season was Aiden O'Connell,
mm-hmm.
Who is a walk-on, came here. His only offer had been to play in Division III at Wheaton College up around Chicago, and you know, he was outstanding in the Old Oak and Bucket game. He was pretty good in the game at Wisconsin, and so I think the two of them certainly are going to be in the competition. You've got a freshman coming in from New Jersey named Mike Alimo that I think will be in there, and then there's still the possibility of bringing a grad transfer or another a transfer in to see if he can compete for the job. So that probably, heading into the 2020 season, is going to be the biggest question, is who's going to be the quarterback next year.
And as long as you can stay healthy and not become a MASH unit, you guys ought to be in pretty good shape.
Well, you would think so. You know, when you line up at quarterback, you're going to have Rondale Moore on one side and David Bell on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So that in and of itself, and they've got a really highly recruited receiver named Malik Carr who's coming in next year. And you know, we didn't see much of T.J. Sheffield and Mershon Rice this year because they were hurt, but I think both of those guys have talent. And then we always overlook Jackson Anthrop, but you know, Jackson I think can be a very productive player when he's on the field. So you're going to have a lot of options offensively, and if you get the right guy out there throwing in Jeff Brom's system, you've got a chance to be pretty good.
How do you take Hopkins' place at tight end?
Well, I think Payne Durham will get the first look, but they had a couple of freshmen who redshirted last year. I think they really are going to be outstanding players. Garrett Miller and Kyle Villadue have the opportunity to step in, and it'll probably be a two- or three-person committee rather than Bryson, because I thought Bryson, especially the second half of the season, was really outstanding.
Yeah, I thought he was, too.
And he's going to get paid. Mm-hmm. He's going to wind up in the NFL and have a great career. But you're right, and the tight ends are very important in Jeff's offense because he likes to stretch the field down the hash marks to really open things up. So that'll be a key going into next season.
Before I let you go, I got to get your take on national championship game Monday night.
You know, everybody seems to think LSU, and I like LSU, and I think LSU's had one of those magical seasons. Well, I sure wouldn't overlook Clemson. I think Dabo does a great job down there, and if I were having a bet right now, I just have a feeling that Clemson might find a way to win that football game.
That's kind of my feeling, plus the fact I really believe that the fact that they've been there before makes a huge difference at this time of year, and the fact that you know, they scored over 30 against an Ohio State defense, which wasn't all that bad, and just because LSU ran wild against Oklahoma's defense doesn't mean that LSU's offense is that great.
I would agree on all those counts, and I will say this. I think it's going to be a great football game.
I do, too.
Back and forth, but I just have a feeling that Clemson, people, even though they haven't lost a game in 2 years, people still underestimate Clemson coming into this game.
I totally 100% agree. Tim, anything else you want to add before I let you go?
No, just let's see if we can get the rain stopped here. And, you know, we don't need to take the rowboats out here for the rest of the
day. Or your sleds, maybe, if it does what I think it's going to do. So.
All right.
So, Tim, thanks much. Greatly appreciate the time, and best of luck to you and the Boilers, okay?
Ken, thanks for having me.
All right, take care of yourself.
Thank you.
All right, that's going to take care of this segment of the show. We're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper, and Tony Theofanis.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one resource for information as you need it. Right at your fingertips, we have news, weather, sports, obituaries, the WILO program schedule, over 40,000 community photos, online surveys, community events, and WILO TV archives. Plus, click on the info tab to find out how you can contact your local and state representative. Find out what the buzz is all about. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
Do you know someone who is a true community hero? Someone who has made a true difference and has a true passion for making Clinton County a better place to live? If so, here is your chance to help them get recognized. Get your nomination form at WILO, Frankfort Main Street, or Frankfort Community Public Library and return to the same locations. To be eligible, they must be a Clinton County resident and there is no age limit. The Community Hero brought to you by Frankfort's Unified Neighborhoods and your home for classic hits, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
And welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agents, Susan Casper and Tony Theofanis. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. Many thanks to our two guests from the show today. We had Chris Kaufman from the Indiana High School Athletic Association talk about Basketball Day Indiana. It's coming up on February the 8th over at Kokomo's Memorial Gymnasium. Appreciate Chris and their time, and we're going to probably have a little bit more on that as that time gets a little bit closer. And also thanks to Tim Newton, who's the voice of Purdue football and women's basketball at the University of Purdue. Thanks, Tim, for all that stuff for coming up for the day. We've got about 7 minutes left in the show today, so 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463. Couple of reminders. First of all, next week we will not have this show next week because I'm going to be out of town at an Idea Bank along with Kevin Keith, Russ Casper, and Mike Downey, where the four of us are going down to St. Louis for the Idea Bank in St. Louis. So we will not have this show next weekend. Just to remind you now, that this we'll be back here on the 25th, and so I've already got some people pretty much lined up for that. Looking forward to having that show on the 25th. As we were just talking about the national championship game, it seems like money is piling up on LSU, leaving sports books around the nation with lopsided action on a national championship game that is setting up to be a big decision for bookmakers. Heading into the weekend, LSU is a consensus 6-point favorite over Clemson in Monday's national championship game in New Orleans. It starts at 8 o'clock on ESPN. The line opened as a 3-point, with LSU being favored by 3, and now it has doubled since then. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think it's going to be a great football game, and we'll see what happens. We've got a caller here. Michael, good morning. How you doing?
Another great show, Ken.
Thank you.
The only thing I got to say is, where the heck are all the Clinton County coaches?
Well, the coaches right now are basically, you know, I tell them is that, okay, you know, I'll get back to them. And I really haven't done that because I will get back to them if their seasons are going well. And as we talked earlier in the show with the records we were talking about, we're not having some great seasons right now. So
this is true, especially in Clinton County.
Oh yeah, then that's what I got to worry about is Clinton County.
I do congratulate Clinton Prairie. It seems like they got a heck of a program out here, both in football and basketball.
Right, and both the boys and girls. The girls are 13-2 going to their game this afternoon against Western
Wow.
Boone, and then the boys are 9-2 after last night. So,
that's good.
Yeah, and then the nice thing about, you know, they're not very big. Of course, there's no size basically in this county. So,
that's true.
So, I mean, we got, they're very small, but that's, you know, they won by 60 last night against not a very good Tri-County team, but they still,
that's how that.
But, you know, when you can get kids to play together, you can get those kind of things happening.
Well, I congratulate them. And, you know, I value your opinions on everything, Ken.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you a question.
Sure.
Taking class basketball out of it, because I just think it's a ruination of our program here.
Yeah.
But taking that out, do you think that the kids are not dedicated themselves much to the sports anymore due to all the electronic equipment, the iPads and the smartphones and the computers and everything which they've all had since they were 3 or 4 years old? Do you think they don't want to get off their butts? And I mean, playing sports is rough.
It is, but then again, also, there's a lot of things. A lot of parents can't afford it, for one thing, and that's becoming an issue for some people. The other thing of it is that, you know, unless you're highly touted, unless you have been told that you're going to have a chance for a scholarship someplace and can back it up, most people don't want to put forth the effort. And the other thing that I've always said, it's an instant gratification system. You know, if they don't have success right off the top, we're not interested.
Yeah, that's true, too.
And that, you know, and to me, when I was coaching, we had kids that came to our program. They're the ones that had, they wanted to be there. And I'm not sure now the kids really want to be there. They're being pressured from outside places, either by peers, parents, or whomever, to play. And the overall thrill of just playing sports is not there anymore because of the pressure for scholarships and for, everything else that goes on.
So you're thinking electronic equipment is maybe a part of it, but
a part of it, because the thing of it is that if you get bogged down by that, that means you have no motivation, which means you have no chance of being successful. I mean, you just don't.
You got to dedicate yourself.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
Absolutely. Did I hear you one time say, Ken, that you either coached or were on a championship team over in Illinois?
Yeah, we were. I was part of I was an assistant coach at a junior college in Champaign. We won the first Division II national championship in 1986.
Wow. Have they won since?
No. We went. We had a four-year period there where we finished first, third, and fourth in the nation, and went, I think it was 104 and 31, if my memory serves me correctly.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, but I know, and the reason I say we had the kids that wanted to be there, because I was the one responsible for getting them there, so so I knew what kind of kids we had. And and the nice thing is a lot of those kids have been very successful coaches and or businessmen or whatever since they got out of school too. So it was a really an exceptional group of kids.
Well, if Russ ever fires you, you got a job over there, I'll bet you.
Well, I'm getting to the point in my life, I don't know if I really, when we got away from it, 25 years or so, years ago or so, we decided, I don't know if we really want to get back. I was tempted a couple times, but I thought, nope, I don't think I really want to do this anymore.
Well, you got to be real dedicated as a coach, too.
Well, you do, and the problem is you got to deal with so many outside influences now that I don't think people really understand that. You got so many influences that are just idiocy that you got to deal with.
Yeah. Well, anyway, another great show, Ken, and
thank
I'm going to miss you next week. Buddy.
Well, we're headed off to St. Louis, assuming the weather allows us to get there next week. We maybe go dog sled. Heck, I don't know.
Well, why don't you let Todd do the show?
Well, I think we're letting Todd and Bill, I think, do Party Line on Friday for us, I think.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, well, have a good time over in Illinois.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Keep up the good work.
All right. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to wrap up for the show this week. Again, thanks to our guests who were Chris Kaufman from the Indiana High School Athletic Association and Tim Newton from the University of Purdue. As we said, we will not be on the show next week because we're going to be out of town. We'll resume Inside the Huddle on the 25th of the month. So until then, everybody have a great time. Take good care of yourselves, and we will see you back here on the 25th. Bye-bye.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance, and Tony Theofanis, State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.